Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the culture surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Volume.
The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. UConn is currently the favorite to win the title at plus 500. My favorite team, hometown Tucson, Arizona Wildcats, are currently plus 1300. Plenty of good bets to check out. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code HOOPS. That's H-O-O-P-S. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code HOOPS. That's H-O-O-P-S. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY to 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. All right, welcome to Hoops Tonight here at The Volume. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope all of you guys had an incredible weekend. We have a jam-packed show for you today, our classic Monday, so we will have power rankings at the tail end of the show. Off the top, we're going to be talking about a showdown between the Boston Celtics and the Phoenix Suns on Saturday night. And then after that, the Los Angeles Lakers, after a really disappointing, kind of somewhat foreseen loss against the Sacramento Kings, get back-to-back huge wins against the Milwaukee Bucks without LeBron James, and then against the Minnesota Timberwolves as well. So we're going to talk a little bit about just how good the Lakers have been as of late. What is fueling that success, as well as what is standing in the way of them having any sort of legitimate chance to make a deep playoff run. So we're going to talk some Lakers there in the middle portion of the show. And like I said, at the end, we're going to get into our power rankings. You guys know the drill. Before we get started, subscribe to the Volume's brand new YouTube channel. So you guys don't, or excuse me, to the Hoops Tonight YouTube channel, so you don't miss any more of our videos. Follow the Hoops Tonight podcast feed wherever you get your podcasts. Remember, it's also helpful if you guys leave a rating and a review on that front. Follow me on Twitter at @_JasonLT so you guys don't miss show announcements, as well as the film threads that I do from time to time. And then last but not least, keep dropping mailbag questions in the YouTube comments. Lots of mailbags this week. We're going to be doing one in tomorrow's show as well, so make sure you get some mailbag questions in there. And then last but not least, before we get started, the NCAA tournament is right around the corner. I don't know about you guys, if you've ever been to an NCAA tournament game, but they're like one of the coolest basketball experiences that I've personally had as a fan. I was at, I want to say it was 2014, and it was an Elite Eight game between Wisconsin and my favorite team, our hometown Arizona Wildcats. And like, I just remember the crazy vibe of like the two home crowd kind of thing, where like It's almost like this warring group of fan bases with every single momentum play, and there's just everyone's excited after every single type of play. It's a totally different type of basketball experience, and you guys need to get out to an arena and actually see one of these games during the tournament this year. The best way to do that is through Game Time. You're not going to deal with any sort of convoluted pricing. You're going to get all-in pricing up front with Game Time. You're not going to have any sort of question about what kind of seat you're going to get. You're going to know exactly what seat you're going to get. You're going to see a picture of the view from your seat through the Game Time app. And then it's easy. It's a one-click process that'll get you through everything, or I should say two taps. It's two taps to get through the ticket buying process. It's the easiest experience that you'll find among a ticketing app. I highly recommend you guys give it a shot and get out to an actual game to see an NCAA tournament game this year. Get out to see an NBA playoff game this year. Get out and see some of these events in person. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code HOOPS for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code HOOPS. That's HOOPS for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. All right, let's talk some basketball. So really fun game between the Celtics and the Suns. Just as a basketball fan, a really fun game to watch because Suns were obviously, you know, without Devin Booker, it's just really hard for them to go into a matchup against a really staunch perimeter defense type of team like Boston. They found their advantages. Like, obviously, Kristaps Porzingis didn't play, and so they were trying to pick on Al Horford as much as they could. The Celtics were running a deeper drop coverage with Horford and trying to avoid switching him at all costs, although KD got him onto some switches when he could. And obviously, the Suns have guys who can punish the deep drop in a lot of ways, right? Like, we saw some Bradley Beal mid-range pull-up jump shots. Kevin Durant was amazing again. Kevin Durant's riding a streak of three consecutive 35-plus point nights. He's been averaging 38 over that span. KD's just been insane. He hit those shots against Denver and has just been riding that wave and all that confidence from that game into a pretty absurd stretch. But the Celtics weathered it all. And really was impressed with them on the defensive end of the floor, held this high-powered Suns offense to a 110 offensive rating, forced a ton of turnovers, forced 15 of them, got out in transition off of those turnovers, scored 16 points on those 15 turnovers. I really liked that they didn't overreact to the shots that Bradley Beal and Kevin Durant were hitting. For the most part, they stayed in single coverage. For the most part, they trusted their defense off the ball, which is, by the way, a big part of how they force turnovers. Again, this is a Suns team that can get a little sloppy making swing passes and skip passes and post-entry passes and short roll passes and things along those lines, and you can capitalize on it. Then on the other end of the floor, the Suns had their own success or their own issue in pick-and-roll defense with Drew Eubanks. Specifically, they were just picking him to absolute shreds. The Celtics were I think Eubanks was like a minus 20 in this game. Jaylen Brown was picking on Bradley Beal in the post, was once again being really aggressive. This has been a trend I've noticed with Jaylen Brown. Like, this is a guy who takes a lot of mid-range kind of fadeaway jump shots out of the post, and he's very good at them. But as I say all the time on the show, like, the best mid-range pull-up shooter is going to shoot in the mid-50s, you know, high 50s on those shots, and that's just not nearly as efficient as a hook shot or something that's really close to the basket. And, you know, Jaylen Brown like bullied Bradley Beal on the left block and did a spin move towards the baseline. But instead of fading into a tough right shoulder fade, he spun aggressively, created space with that right shoulder, and took a short little bank shot that he's going to make 75% of the time, right? He had a right-handed hook over his left shoulder where he bodied Beal into the lane and went straight up and down instead of fading. Like, he's going to make that shot 80-85% of the time. That's like another level of efficiency above those fadeaways. And you want to have him, again, like I said, it's an important counter to have. It's an important shot to have in the bag, especially against the best defensive players in the league when you need to create shots. But I've been so incredibly impressed by Jaylen Brown in this game. Like, he only had three assists in this game, but he had some really nice reads. There was a lob pass to Luke Kornet as he slipped out of a double ball screen, like a double drag, where he patiently kind of waited for the play to develop, waited for all the defensive players to make their kind of like baked in reads. And then Luke Kornet broke open and he just hit him with a perfect lob pass. He brought physical ball pressure on Bradley Beal. Just in general, Jaylen Brown continues this stretch of just awesome basketball that he's playing. They killed the Suns on the offensive glass. They had 13 offensive rebounds. Again, that's a big one for me that has been kind of a recent trend for the Celtics. And just another great paint scoring game. They have 60 points in the paint in this matchup. They're averaging 57 points in the paint over their last seven games. That ranks third in the NBA. So we're now on like a hefty, like half of a month here where the Celtics are suddenly like a dominant paint scoring offense. And this is a team that for the entire first chunk of the season was, you know, like, I guess we're at, we're what, like two thirds of the, or about three fourths of the way through the season at this point. Getting close there. This is a 10% chunk of the season here where they've gone from being before that one of the worst paint scoring teams in the league to a team that's consistently scoring in the paint. So it's very clear from the top down that there is an effort being made to get these guys to play with more physical aggression, to bring that like more diversity to their offensive approach instead of just relying on whether or not their jump shots are going to go in. And that to me is just going to give them more margin for error when they get later into the playoffs. And then Jason Tatum closed the deal in the fourth quarter, monster fourth quarter, hit a three on the right wing where the Suns just didn't even match up with him in transition. He had a pull-up three on a soft switch between Royce O'Neal and Bol Bol. We've talked a lot about the difference between aggressive switching and soft switching. Again, aggressive switch is you come off the screen and the dude almost like hedges at first and then squares up so that you can essentially force the guy to almost like face ball pressure immediately when he comes off the screen versus a soft switch when you hang back. And on this particular play where Tatum hit the pull-up three, Royce O'Neal's on him. Here comes the ball screen. As he comes off the ball screen, Bol Bol is the guy that's supposed to be switching onto him, but Royce O'Neal kind of ducks under and takes the screener. And then Bol Bol hangs back in a soft switch. And Tatum found a gap in there to rise up and knock down a jumper. Bol Bol got a late contest, but it wasn't enough. Tatum knocked it down. By the way, Tatum's been shooting the pull-up jump shot significantly better since January 1st. This is something we've been talking about on the show. 282 points on 263 pull-up jump shot attempts since January 1st. That's 1.07 points per shot. So here's the deal. Still, should he take as many as he takes? Probably not. Should he be more physically aggressive? Absolutely. But he was also a bad pull-up shooter for, you know, basically 3 years before this stretch. And now we have an extended 2 month and change stretch where he's gone from being bad at it to above average at it. Still not as good as you want. Like the best pull-up jump shooters in the league are closer to like 1.15 points per possession. The guys that should be hunting that shot as like a huge part of their shot diet are in another tier, but he's at the very least now an effective pull-up jump shooter over a substantial sample size, which I think is encouraging. Because again, for all the talk about physical bullying and playing in the paint and bringing offensive versatility, they're going to need Tatum to hit pull-up jump shots to win in the playoffs. They're going to need Jaylen Brown to hit pull-up jump shots to win in the playoffs. That's never what it was about. It was always about balance. And I thought that was a really good bounce back game for Boston going into Phoenix against a Phoenix team that really wants to continue their momentum after the win against Denver against a red hot Kevin Durant, right? And you go in there and you control the game. And every single time every single time Phoenix makes a run, like Phoenix made a run there in the middle third quarter, Kevin Durant hit like a crossover three against in transition against Drew Holiday to get it back to three. And then if I remember correctly, right after that, Drew Holiday made a couple of plays himself and they just bounced it right back up to 9 points like that. Like they just they never let it linger in range for Phoenix to make any real sort of push, and they just stiff armed them and they got the win. On the Suns front, random role player minutes continue to hurt them. I thought, again, Drew Eubanks was awful in pick and roll defense. Saben Lee had a rough stretch in the first half. He was -4 in 4 minutes, wasn't getting guarded. They went with David Roddy in the second half and they started ignoring him on the right wing, and he got two just completely unguarded right wing threes, and both of them were like bad misses. He was -6 in 6 minutes. So just not having Devin Booker out there has caused them to have to dip into the parts of their roster where they can, you know, have some guys where they can really help off of, you know, and that's where it causes some issues. But again, big bright side, Devin Booker's coming back and Kevin Durant is hooping his ass off. 35 plus in three straight games. He's averaging 38.7 rebounds and 4 assists in that span. 54% from the field and 45% from three. Just one last note on the Sun side of things, or on the KD side of things, just for the young basketball players out there. Something that I thought was really interesting and something I think that a lot of kids could kind of pick up some little tips and tricks of the game from KD in this case. One of the things he was beating Drew Holiday with in this particular game was like quick, aggressive rip moves on the catch. And so just imagine a situation where like KD's coming off of a dribble handoff and he would like step up into where the ball is. And as soon as he catches it, instead of like putting the ball on the floor and like trying to mix up off the dribble, he'd make his first aggressive change of direction move without having to put the ball on the floor right away with a rip through. So essentially he would like catch the ball squared up this way. And then he'd kind of lean back to create some space and he'd aggressively rip through to the right. So that when he's putting the ball down, it's way on his right side after he caught kind of facing towards the left. And he'll do the same thing going to the left where he'll catch it moving to the right and then he'll rip through to the left. Dwayne Wade used to do this move all the time. I don't know if you Miami Heat fans might remember back when Dwayne Wade was younger where he'd come out of like the corner and he'd come off like he's going to go on a dribble handoff. And then as soon as he'd catch it, he'd kind of like do a high hesitation and then he'd just rip back to the left and extend out and do that push dribble to kind of cover some ground. And, you know, it's funny with Kevin Durant, we think of him as one of the most skilled players in the NBA and all this tough shot making. Don't get me wrong, there's a lot of that, but KD is incredibly fundamentally sound. Like little things like that, those rip through moves are just really efficient. Like a lot of times, so many young players over dribble these days. And like a quick rip through move is a move that covers a ton of ground that is easy to control. It protects the basketball because as you're doing the rip, you have two hands on the ball. So even if Jrue Holiday gets in there and reaches and attacks the basketball, if you're holding it strong and do a strong rip through move, you can get through that first reach and cover ground with that first dribble. Another big one that KD's great at is setting his man up for screens. Like he won't just run off the screen. He's great at like getting up into the defender's body, pushing him down to where like the block is and then giving him like a little shove before he cuts off the screen and cuts shoulder to shoulder with the player and curls immediately to try to create a better screening angle. Like Kevin Durant is incredibly fundamentally sound. And again, like when you get to the higher levels of basketball, it's not just them learning how to do more advanced shit. It's them being incredibly fundamentally sound. And then the advanced shit is what kind of pushes them over the top into like specific things like rescue possessions. Oh, 3-2-1 on the shot clock. I need to make a play. Or like, you know, I'm in a heat check here and I'm already in rhythm and now I'm going to more of my advanced stuff. Like, again, the game of basketball is best played when it's made easy. And it's the best basketball players in the world aren't the guys that can do all the hard shit. They're the guys that relentlessly target and get all the low hanging fruit in basketball, right? I mean, we talk about it a lot with Jokic, right? But like even KD as a tough shot maker, he's a guy that has incredibly sound fundamentals. And that's something that carries him to a lot of his offensive success.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere. Like at your pregame barbecue, while you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
Does the craziness of everyday life leave you feeling stressed and shedding? Since having kids, have you started to see a little more of your scalp? Are you unhappy with your hairline? When it comes to thinning hair, there are many root causes at play, and Nutrafol addresses them through a multi-targeted, whole-body approach. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist-recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, and faster-growing hair with less shedding. Physician-formulated, with drug-free ingredients, Nutrafol supports healthy hair growth from within by targeting key root causes of thinning: stress, hormones, environment, nutrition, lifestyle, and metabolism through whole body health. Take their hair wellness quiz at Nutrafol.com for a personalized hair health plan based on your specific root causes. With Nutrafol, building a hair growth routine is simple. Purchase online, no prescription or doctor's visits required. Free shipping and automated deliveries ensure you'll never miss a day and you'll see results in 3 to 6 months. Take the first step to visibly thicker and healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code HOOPS. That's H-O-O-P-S. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and stylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com, spelled N-U-T-R-A-F-O-L.com, promo code HOOPS, H-O-O-P-S. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code HOOPS.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, moving on to the Los Angeles Lakers. It's a really interesting stretch here to start the month of March because they played a bunch of good teams in a row all at home. And I was somewhat kind of optimistic going in. They ended up going 3-2, which was somewhat disappointing, but giving the competition was really good. I was hoping as a fan of the team for something closer to 4-1, mainly because the Lakers were a really good home team. Coming into this stretch, they were 21-9 at home, and now they're 24-11, which is one of the better home records in the league. This is a team that has always been good at home. And so I was kind of hoping for something a little better, but they bounced back, right? You lose to that Denver team. That's obviously a really tough matchup for them. We're going to talk more about the matchups in a minute. Get a huge win over the Thunder. Then you have that really disappointing ass kicking at the hand of the Kings, but you bounce back by beating the Bucks without LeBron and then beating the Minnesota Timberwolves, albeit shorthanded, on Sunday. So like a couple of big wins, and all of a sudden it's 3-2 with wins against the Wolves, the Thunder, and the Bucks. All really, really impressive. So starting with the Bucks game, AD bounced back from the Kings disaster by putting up 22-13 with two blocks. Austin Reeves, 18-5-7, another well-rounded performance from him. Rui Hachimura and Spencer Dinwiddie both make two massive defensive plays at the end of the game. Rui Hachimura on the play before the final play, there is a possession where they run a Dame Giannis pick and roll. He tags the roller on Giannis, then gets out of the lane back to his man in the corner, but he switches with Cam Reddish and has Cam Reddish guard the corner man, and he guards Giannis as the low man so that he can help on the drive. So they had been so AD switches like he does a lot at the end. A lot of times with the Lakers, they'll switch with AD at the very end of the game. So it's like last few possessions. You don't want to do this for the whole game. Let's just throw AD on the ball for these like famously game four against the Warriors last year. They were running all these coverages in pick and roll, these like high drop coverages where AD's coming up to the level and then dropping back. But then final two possessions, AD just switches on to Steph and gets stopped. So same type of thing, switches on to Dame, and AD does a good job taking away the pull jumper. Dame kind of beats him to the left-hand side off the dribble, but he's a little off balance. He's going to have to throw up a really difficult scoop shot. But instead of Cam Reddish in help, because Rui Hachimura saw that play developing, and understood, like, okay, now that the shooter's in the corner and Giannis is in the dunker spot, it's actually because of the switch, because Cam Reddish switched off of Dame and switched onto Giannis on the ball screen. Now it's more important to get Cam off into the corner and have Rui take Giannis so that he can be the guy that steps up to help, right? That first defender, that low man, the guy guarding the guy in the dunker spot, is the first line of defense after the ball handler gets beat. And so Rui's just a bigger, better athlete than Cam. He makes that smart switch. All of a sudden, he jumps up and gets a great contest on Dame's shot. Dame ends up missing it. And then to Darvin Ham's credit, again, like Darvin Ham has not been, in my opinion, one of the best coaches in the league this year. But he's had his moments. Again, like I'm a big believer in this show. Like, we don't just shine the light on the negative. We want to call it the negative and the positive. We want to try to give as well-rounded a coverage as we can. And one of the things with Darvin is on this late possession, he brought Jackson Hayes into the game just for a defensive sub. They weren't using him outside of that. They brought him in for the big possession of the game. He had two timeouts left at this point. The Lakers were down by one. All you got to do is get a stop, and you use a timeout. You go down, you get a bucket, then you just have to get one more stop. And if you go down and you don't get a stop or you don't get a bucket, you have an extra timeout if you should need it, right? So Darvin Ham takes a timeout, gets Jackson Hayes on the floor. Jackson Hayes is weak side. And when Rui goes up for the block, AD's trailing the play and Rui's going in for the block. So both of them are basically effectively occupied by Dame. So Giannis is under the basket by himself, basically, to clean up the offensive glass. But Jackson Hayes comes crashing in from the wing and he tips it and it ends up in Anthony Davis's hands. So huge defensive play from Rui. Obviously, big adjustment from Darvin Ham to bring Jackson Hayes in as a defensive sub. He also brought Cam Reddish in on that specific possession. They call a timeout. They go down to the other end. D'Angelo Russell, who was the hero of the game, scores 21 points in the fourth quarter, hits several huge threes off the dribble and off the catch, but hits the game winner on Dame. Interesting play. Starts the play. He's got Malik Beasley on him. Calls Spencer Dinwiddie to come up and set the screen. Spencer Dinwiddie sets a good screen and drags the screen out. So he actually tried to roll in the direction Dame was, or Malik was in. That's a great way to kind of force a switch. If you don't hold that contact, then they can probably just chase over the top or get through it, right? He holds the screen, gets Malik off of him. Dame is now on D'Lo. D'Lo then brings Brook Lopez up into the action. And Dame wants to switch, but Brook is like, no, man, you got to get back. So Brook points back to Dame to get back to D'Lo. When he gets back, D'Lo takes an advanced dribble while Dame is recovering, and that gets him on his backside. And now here's the thing. Like, Austin and D'Lo, we've talked about on the show, they're not particularly big, or they're not particularly fast guards, but they are decently sized. Like, D'Lo's, what, 6'5", and has a decent amount of muscle mass to him. So once he got Dame pinned on his backside, there's really nothing Dame can do to bother him at that point. Then D'Lo just kind of works his way methodically inside, finds that sweet spot where he has some room to get the floater over Brook Lopez, takes and makes the floater, puts the Lakers up one, and then down on the other end of the floor, Spencer Dinwiddie with the biggest defensive play of the game, times Dame Lillard's step-back jump shot perfectly, meets him at the summit, and gets the block. So massive win for the Lakers without LeBron James. And then following that up, last night against the Timberwolves, LeBron came back. He was great. He's been bringing a ton of downhill rim pressure in off-ball situations, which continues to be a theme, or I should say outside of half-court initiation situations. So pushing in transition is obviously a big one, but also closeout situations. He's been so good cutting to the rim, catching and ripping and going to the rim. Even in the Kings game, he beat a closeout at the top of the key and dunked, I think on Alex Len, if I remember correctly, in the middle of the floor. That another driving dunk attacking a closeout off of an AD double team last night. AD draws second defender, pass, I think it was Austin Reeves, one pass away. Austin swings to LeBron. LeBron pump fakes, beats his man off the dribble, rises up and dunks it. Like, he's just finding those little angles to attack in like a downhill situation out of advantages, which there's so many of them in this offense, which we're about to get to in a few minutes. But LeBron was great. He had 29 points, 8 rebounds, and 9 assists. And remember, before that, again, 29, 8, 9. Before that starts to sound common for you, only 4 players in the NBA this year are averaging at least 25 points, 6 rebounds, and 6 assists. It's Luka Doncic, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Nikola Jokic, and LeBron James. So, like, as crazy, like, I don't think he's had as good a regular season as the numbers would say, just simply because he's been saving a lot of energy on the defensive side of the ball throughout this year, which is totally to be expected. But on the offensive end of the floor, he's been producing at like a top 6 or 7 level in the league. He's still playing at that level on that end. And when he engages himself defensively, he can actually compete like one of the best playoff players in the league, which is just going to be a question of whether or not he can stay healthy enough to do that in the postseason. And then Anthony Davis, the Wolves front line was injured. Obviously, Karl Towns went down with his meniscus injury last week, but Rudy Gobert was out for this one. AD just obliterated the Wolves front line, killed Nasri, killed Luka Garza, 10 offensive rebounds. Seemingly anytime the Lakers missed a shot in the second half, AD was cleaning it up. Finished with 27 points, 27 rebounds, 5 assists, 7 steals, and 3 blocks. First player ever in NBA history to record those numbers in a game. The 14th 10 steals plus blocks game of AD's career, which Draymond is second among active players with 4. Wembanyama is also tied for second. He already has 4. That'll be a record he probably breaks. But Anthony Davis has been basically the best blocks and steals guy of the among active NBA players by a mile. But the Lakers ended up winning this game with defense. We talked about AD earlier with the 7 steals and 3 blocks. Torian Prince made 3 massive, only scored 6 points in this game, but he made 3 massive defensive plays in the fourth quarter run. I actually clipped all 3 of them and put them into a Twitter video, so you can find that on my Twitter feed at _JasonLT. But there was a skip pass to the weak side where there was a wide open shooter in the corner and the wing, and Torian did a textbook passing lane closeout. So this is what you teach young players to do when there's a skip pass and there's 2 shooters. You don't close out to the shooter, you close out to the passing lane. Because if you do that well, you might be able to bait the guy that's the shooter into thinking you're closing out at him, and his automatic reaction is to throw a swing pass, and you might get him to throw it right to you if you close out to the passing lane. So if the pass goes to the wing, you're closing out between the wing and the corner, opened up towards the shooter with your hand in the passing lane. And then if he shoots, you respond with a late contest. If the pass goes to the corner, it's the exact opposite. You close out to the passing lane and you split the difference. he ended up, the pass ended up going to the corner. He jumped the passing lane, got a deflection. They ran out the other end. I think it was Austin Reeves got a layup on this particular one. Then there was a dribble handoff action that the Wolves ran that got Mike Conley going downhill off the top, out of the top of the key. And Torian Prince came over and helped, walled up Mike Conley and got a stop. And then a couple possessions later, he blocked Jaden McDaniels at the rim in a transition possession. All three of those plays from Torian Prince led to runouts the other way that the Lakers scored on. So, like, just huge swings in the game for Torian Prince. Only 6 points scored, but all three of those essentially amounted to pick sixes that helped the Lakers build their fourth quarter lead. And again, just like I was talking about with Darvin Ham, do I agree with how often Torian Prince has played this year? Yes. Do I think he's been utilized in a way that doesn't accentuate his strengths sometimes? Yes. But he is a good basketball player. And especially when he's in a role like this, where he's playing in the mid to low 20s in minutes, he can be deeply impactful. And he was deeply impactful in that defensive run for the Lakers down the stretch against the Timberwolves. A couple of huge wins. Now the Lakers are really starting to pick up some steam. I talked a lot about how I wanted to see if the Lakers were going to have any sort of legitimate chance to get anything done. I wanted to see like a 25 game span where they were like 18-7 or 17-8, something along those lines, right? We're not quite there, but we're heading in that direction. They are 12-5 since the start of February. That's a really dominant stretch, just not a long enough span. I want to see them again. You've got some big games on the horizon. They play the Kings on Wednesday night. They play the Warriors on Saturday night. Like, those are, getting a couple of wins there would put you at 14-5. Now we're talking about a more serious, longer stretch, right? But in that 12-5 12-5 stretch since the start of February, they have the fifth best record in the NBA over that span, the second best offense in the league over that span, wins over the Celtics, the Knicks, the Pelicans, the Clippers, the Thunder, the Bucks, and the Timberwolves. 8 or 7 really quality wins over that span. When you extend it back to January 7th, the larger sample now, this is a 30-game sample size. This is about 40% of the season. In that span, they are 19-11. That is the seventh best record in the league. In addition to the wins I just mentioned, we're adding wins there to the against the Clippers again, the Thunder again, the Mavericks, and the Warriors. So, like, 11 quality wins in a 19-11 stretch. This is a good stretch of basketball that the Lakers are playing. Now, let's talk about what specifically is working for them. Here's some metrics since January 7th. So again, these are all since in their last 30 games. They're just demolishing teams in the paint. 56.5 points in the paint per 100 possessions. That's first in the NBA over that span. And when you factor in that doesn't include free throws, like, this is also the team that is number one in free throw rate. Or I think they're number one in free throw attempts allowed, if I'm not mistaken. But I think they're still top 10 in free throw rate during that time. I can't remember the exact numbers, but they're getting to the foul line a lot, is my point. And so to be the number one points in the paint team while also being a team that's getting to the foul line a lot, they're getting a lot of easy, replicable baskets right around the basket. That is super, super encouraging as it pertains to the postseason. They're sixth in offensive rating overall since January 7th. So again, second since February 1st in the smaller sample, sixth since January 7th. Really is their five out offense kicking at high gear. They're sixth in assists over that span, fifth in assist to turnover ratio over that span. Everyone's involved. We've talked about it before, but every guy in this lineup can both initiate offense and finish plays. In terms of initiating, Anthony Davis can initiate through the post and through ISO. LeBron can do it through post ISO and in pick and roll. Austin and D'Lo do it through pick and roll. And then Rui can do it through ISO and through the post. But all five of those guys can also play off the ball. Like, Rui is shooting 45% from three since January 7th. That's a big part of him working off ball in their five out system. Also, we talked about Rui initiating offense in the post. Rui's been a great post-up player this year. He's averaging 1.14 points per post-up possession, including passes. That ranks ninth out of 57 players to run at least 70 post-ups this year. So, like, in their five-out offense, when they get a mismatch for Rui, they throw it down to him on the block, and he's consistently generating quality shots. He's personally shooting 54% in those situations, but he's also shooting 45% from three during this stretch since January 7th, which has been a huge part of him working both on and off the ball. Obviously, we know D'Lo is a dead-eye shooter, also a guy who can cut and attack closeouts extremely well. He's a big release valve for them. Whenever double teams come, he just kind of flashes to the middle of the floor and makes plays. Austin obviously is an excellent off-ball player, great at attacking closeouts. And then LeBron has been, he's always been underrated as an off-ball player just because he's had some teams that he's been on where he's had to be on the ball so much. But 1.23 points per catch and shoot jump shot. He's been one of the best catch and shoot players in the league this year. That ranks 20th out of 79 players this year to log at least 200 catch and shoot jump shots. So he's been an upper fourth catch and shoot guy among guys that reach that specific volume cutoff. He's made 82 shots this year on cuts and rolls to the rim on 67% shooting. It's a huge chunk of his offense now. And then so with LeBron being so great off the ball, we also have Anthony Davis as the hub. He's one of only three players in the league this year to log at least 250 roll man possessions and still get over 1.1 points per possession on them. It's just him, Miles Turner, and Alperen Şengün that are the three high-volume, efficient roll-man guys. He's personally shooting 56% on rolls to the rim and 58% on floaters, which is a big part of what's making that work. So again, like the offense is just absolutely humming. Everyone can score. Everyone can pass. Rui doesn't pass super well, but he could score out of the post and he can knock down the threes, so it's working, right? The offense is absolutely humming. Second best over the last 17 games and sixth best over the last 30 games. But that has come at the expense of their defense and their rebounding. They have not been a good defensive and rebounding team over the stretch. They've been bottom 10 in both categories. That is where, if there's, because like that's the next step here, right? 19-11 over a 30 game span, 12-5 over a 17 game span, tons of quality wins. But we know they can't beat Denver right now, and we may not even find out if they can't get through the postseason, if they can't get into the postseason through the play-in. And then teams like with a ton of guard speed in particular, so like they struggled a little bit against Golden State with it, but really badly against Sacramento, they're starting to expose their lack of perimeter defense. And so again, how do we connect this, what's working for the Lakers now, with the gaping holes that will inevitably get them beat in the postseason involving the rebounding and perimeter defense piece? And the answer to all of that is Jared Vanderbilt. Since January 7th, so that span that I'm talking about, because I talk about the Lakers season in thirds, right? They go, what, 15-9 through the in-season tournament win, counting the win in the tournament game, right? So 15-9, you win the in-season tournament, back-to-back-to-back big wins against the Pelicans, the Suns, and the Pacers, right? They actually slow down that Pacers team. Really defensive-minded team. Then they go 3-10 in the 13 games after the in-season tournament. Completely let go of the ropes. Some really bad losses to bad teams. That was when Darvin was fucking around with the lineup too much. All sorts of issues there. Then we get to this recent stretch where they've been really good. So if I have a 19-11 and a 15-9 sandwiching this bad stretch, there is like some really good basketball in there from the Lakers. So how do you connect that with the blatant issues that they have with teams like Denver and Sacramento? Teams that, well, with Denver, it's a bunch of things that cause the Lakers problem. But with Sacramento in particular, speed guards, well, what if you put Jared Vanderbilt in there at the three? Now you have a defender to throw at a De'Aaron Fox so that you kind of only have to figure out what you're doing with the Malik Monk spot, right? Which is like a little bit easier to handle than De'Aaron Fox, obviously. And just in general, like Denver, that's the guy you're putting on Jamal Murray. And again, one of the issues in the postseason last year, the Lakers were running a 4-out-1 in offense. A lot of high volume pick and roll and post up stuff with cleared side, you know, really brute force type of offense. So Jared Vanderbilt was just standing in the corner, just spotting up most of the time, which was a huge problem when teams would ignore him. In the 5-out offense, Jared Vanderbilt would operate as a screener and roller more frequently. And the Lakers demonstrated in that late January stretch that they can succeed offensively with Jared Vanderbilt on the floor. As a matter of fact, Jared Vanderbilt was the second best net rating guy since January 7th behind Spencer Dinwiddie. They're outscoring teams by over 8 points per 100 possessions with Jared Vanderbilt on the floor, and they have been very good defensively. 108.2 defensive rating in that span. That's really good. So again, if they can connect the defensive element that they've shown, not just at the beginning of the year, but even in this January stretch with Jared Vanderbilt on the floor, with the offensive success that they're having, and Jared Vanderbilt can properly slot everybody better, and Jared Vanderbilt is a great rebounder who's vitally important to the Lakers on that side of the floor, or that element of the game, That's where the playoff, the pathway towards some sort of playoff success is. They need to connect the success they're having right now, especially on the offensive end of the floor, with what Jared Vanderbilt brings to the table. If he can come back and he can get to that, you know, level that he was at before the injury as a perimeter defender and where he was fitting offensively, that's the Lakers' path. If there's, again, I feel really comfortable about where I have him in my contender rankings. I have him eighth, I believe. Feel really comfortable about that. I don't think it's too high. I don't think it's too low. The chance, though, the ability to capitalize on that and turn that into a Larry O'Brien trophy, it will depend on Jared Vanderbilt coming back, anchoring their perimeter defense and their defensive rebounding. LeBron and AD have to play at an absolute superstar level, like bona fide top six or seven player in the world level on both ends of the floor for four rounds. And I think they need to catch some matchup luck. So it's a very, very thin window, but the window is there. And I do think it's worth mentioning and acknowledging for this Laker team. Big, 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 big game on Wednesday against Sacramento. Anthony Davis got kind of embarrassed by Domantas Sabonis, so that's going to be a big one for AD to potentially get some revenge in. And if they can win that game and if they can beat Golden State on Saturday, I think that will be a good hallmark for the Lakers. If they can handle some perimeter speed stuff, that'll be a good hallmark for the Lakers. And if I'm not mistaken, I haven't seen the particulars, but that's some encouraging injury updates on Jared Vanderbilt and Gabe Vincent today as well.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's move on to our power rankings before we get out of here for the day. So, two teams dropped out from last week, the Heat and the Magic. The Heat lost three straight games to the Mavs, the Thunder, and the Wizards, and then the Magic lost back-to-back games against the Knicks and the Pacers, so they're out for right now. New in at number 10 is the Phoenix Suns. Massively impressed by their win against the Nuggets in Denver. Really showed that they can defend when they want to. Nurkic is a good, big, physical body to be able to show to throw at Nikola Jokic. They have a lot of length off the ball when Kevin Durant is defending the way that he has. They were flying around in rotation. I thought Bradley Beal digging down off KCP and playing passing lanes and playing the role man was really impactful for them defensively. And then they showed that they can get to their over-the-top shot stuff easier than some other teams can against Denver. And Kevin Durant really got going there down the stretch. Again, I would still pick Denver over Phoenix in the series, but I thought that was a really encouraging win. And then even in the Celtics game, like, they really ran into some shortcomings personnel-wise with Devin Booker out, but there were some really encouraging moments there. And Kevin Durant is just on an absolute heater. Three straight 35-plus point games, averaging 38 points per game over his last three games. So Phoenix on the up and up. Number nine, New Orleans Pelicans. They had an undefeated road trip out east, which has them riding a four-game winning streak. They have a 101 defensive rating in that span over those four games. They actually have the best defense in the league over the last 15 games, really shutting teams down in the paint. Just 45.9 points in the paint allowed per 100 possessions, which is best in the league. Zion and Brandon Ingram are both hooping right now. They're both averaging like 21-7 efficiently. But every single time I believe in the Pelicans, they immediately fall apart. So hopefully this will be something that they can actually sustain. Number eight, the New York Knicks. They had another 1-2 week. They lost a rock fight to the 76ers, throwback style game, both teams in the 70s. But they had a big win against the Red Hot Magic on Friday. And then most importantly, in that game, Jalen Brunson more or less looked like himself, which was encouraging after the knee contusion that he had. Still just floating the ship while all these guys are out with injury. Number seven, the Cleveland Cavaliers, a 2-2 week. Two really impressive wins against the Celtics and the Timberwolves' big comeback against the Celtics, fueled by Dean Wade's shooting, a clutch win, overtime win against the Minnesota Timberwolves, but then two ugly losses against the Hawks and the Nets. They finally got their defense back on track, which was an issue a few weeks ago, but now they're having major issues on offense. They had just a 109 offensive rating last week. They really need to get Donovan Mitchell back to tie all of this together. Number six, the Minnesota Timberwolves, also a 2-2 week. Big win over the Pacers. Red hot late game shot making from Anthony Edwards made three straight pull up jump shots at the end of the game. Mike Conley made a big one too. So they finally made some shots late and closed out a game. But then they lost another clutch game to the Cavs, and then they lost to the Lakers last night. Still experimenting with lineups since Karl Towns went out. They've tried Kyle Anderson the first couple of games. That came with a boatload of issues. They obviously, with Gobert out, they brought Naz Reid in at the center spot, but they ended up going smaller with Nikhil Alexander-Walker against the Lakers, and that might be another option they could go with is if they don't want to start Naz next to Rudy Gobert, just go with Nikhil Alexander-Walker especially against speed teams. I'm not sure if you want to do that against the Lakers necessarily, but against speedier teams, like, because that was obviously a big issue, but they just were so shorthanded with both Gobert and Kat out. But, like, against teams like the Lakers, I'd probably go with Gobert at center and Naz Reid. But I don't hate the idea of using Nikhil Alexander-Walker, especially against speed teams. Again, a lot of times in situations like this, I can sympathize with this problem with the Lakers because of their issues at the three spot. Like, I want them to play Rui, not because he's a natural fit at the three, but just because he's their fifth best player. And at this point, you're better off just playing your best basketball. If you don't have a clear, obvious positional fit, play your best players. And that's the thing, is like, Naz Reid to me playing next to Rudy Gobert might be a little bit of an issue, but he's just a really good basketball player. And so having him out there might just be a better option than some of the others. And at the best player in your perimeter core that doesn't start is probably Nikhil Alexander-Walker. And so that's why I'd go with him if you wanted to lean more towards into like a more perimeter oriented team. Number five, the Los Angeles Clippers. Beat the Bulls in an absolute dogfight that went to overtime, but their stars had to play big minutes, so they ended up having to essentially punt against the Milwaukee Bucks yesterday. Really weird schedule game, too, where the tip-off was like on a Sunday afternoon, less than 24 hours after the last game ended. So that led to a 2-2 week. They also blew the first Milwaukee game in a game that Giannis was out. That was the game that they blew late. They're just 7-7 in their last 14 games. 17th in offense and 23rd in defense over that span. So the Clippers hitting a little bit of a midseason speed bump. Number four, the Milwaukee Bucks. 1-2 so far on their West Coast road trip. Their defense has not traveled with them. They have a 123 defensive rating in the three games. Big part of that is all three teams they played are teams that kind of specialize in beating drop coverage, right? Like, you even against the Clippers with James Harden, like, he can just get into the lane and make plays as a passer. But they really struggled against the Laker guards. The Laker guards were just getting wherever they wanted. Again, like, teams that thrive in that, like, kind of mid-range, kind of shifty guard type of offense, they're going to have success against the Bucks with the deep drop coverage that they run. Big silver lining, though, for the Bucks. I thought in the Lakers game in particular, we saw some of the best Dame Giannis pick and roll reps that I've seen this season. There's specific timing stuff that they're starting to figure out. We're like, timing the roll of the screen is so pivotal, right? Because you want to hold the screen long enough to get the defender to get caught up on you so that the ball handler can get some separation, but not so much, especially when they're blitzing, that you're not available when the pass comes. And so timing is so absolutely critical, but they're really starting to get their 1-2 down with that, where like Dame is coming off and throwing the pass right as Giannis is turning and hitting him in stride. They're really starting to get high quality roll opportunities out of that. They're starting to clear the side more. That's, I would imagine, is another thing that Doc Rivers has brought in. They're starting again. That's just where you don't have a defender in the corner, so that when Giannis rolls, he sees the entire floor in front of him instead of having to account for something that's kind of behind him to his left or behind him to his right. Right. So like that cleared side thing, I think, just kind of simplifies that process. Giannis is making some really nice rolls, reads out of the roll as well. I like, there's a lot of encouraging stuff on the Dame Giannis pick and roll front that I think is enough to, again, this is tough. The Western Conference is tough. I've been talking about this throughout the season. I want to say the Bucks are just 13-10 against the West, and the Celtics are just, if I'm not mistaken, 16-7. So, like, for as dominant as those two teams have been against the East, the bottom of the East is so weak, you can really rack up wins against the bottom of that conference. The Western Conference is tough. It's not easy to get wins on a West Coast trip. And it's more important, like, again, to just look at in the bigger picture, you need to get your defense where it needs to get, but you also need to have the Dame Giannis pick and roll humming at the absolute peak level, and they're getting closer to that every single day. Number three, the Oklahoma City Thunder. Really tough loss in that matchup with the Lakers. Just a really bad matchup for them. LeBron and AD just eat up their front line every single time they play. But then they went into an easier stretch of their schedule. They got two easy wins against Portland and Memphis, and then Shea just went absolutely crazy in a big win against the Miami Heat. They are 10-2 in their last 12 games, so they've moved up to 3 in our power rankings. Number two, the Boston Celtics. Back-to-back losses for the first time since November. They blew their lead against Cleveland, where they couldn't make a jump shot for 9 minutes and struggled to score in the paint. And then they lost to Denver, which we've broken down in excruciating detail on the show over the past week. But they did bounce back with an impressive win against the Suns on Saturday. In case you missed it, we broke that game down at the top of this show. So you'll want to, if you're watching the breakout clip, you want to go watch the full episode for the detailed breakdown of their win against the Suns. They have been the third best points in the paint per 100 possessions team in the last 7 games. Jaylen Brown is absolutely hooping, playing the best basketball of his career. And Jason Tatum, pull-up jump shot coming around since January 1st, 1.07, points per pull-up jumper. Number one, new number one for the first time in like what seems like 2 months, the Denver Nuggets. Obviously, a tough loss to Phoenix. I was weirdly impressed by Denver in that game because Phoenix like punched them in the mouth and was really outplaying them for like 2.5 quarters. But Denver hit the Jets there in the middle of that third quarter, and Phoenix was just holding on for dear life. And they worked their way all the way back into the game, and then Phoenix made a short little run to get it back up to a 9-point lead. And then Denver just executed like the most perfect 12-0 run I've ever seen. But KD made a huge pull-up jump shot to send it to OT, and then he made a few more in OT, and they just kind of lost to a KD shot-making performance. So like a lot of encouraging Nugget stuff out of that. And I also thought it was Nikola Jokic, just one of his worst games of the season. But he bounced back and they were magnificent against Boston. Their half-court execution was unbelievable. I really think they have some room for improvement in that matchup too. A really encouraging week for Denver. Again, I still think they're the best team in the league. And after the win against Boston, and with Boston coming off 2 losses, I thought they deserved the top spot for this week. All right, guys, that is all we have for today. As always, I sincerely appreciate you guys for beating the show, or for supporting the show. Tomorrow, we're going to have a couple of instant reactions as well as a mailbag. So make sure you guys drop some mailbag questions, and I'll see you guys then.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.